Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Our pastors, Father Joseph Gambala, Zach Murphy, and Ursula Krauss, put these programs together technically, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is Christianity in the Roman World, and this is part three in a series of seven programs. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is a divine and transformative gift. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, our program is Impact and Reaction in the first century AD. And the apostles take the word to the world, and Jerusalem is destroyed. The followers of Jesus have emerged from hiding. All that they did not understand has now become clear. They have seen and talked to the risen Lord. There is now no doubt that he is who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. Now they have to tell everyone. It's what he told them to do. Go and teach all nations. And they start in the streets of Jerusalem. The priests of the Sanhedrin are perplexed. Didn't they crucify the man Jesus? Why are his followers so emboldened now? They send out spies to watch the people and ascertain who the troublemakers are. The Pharisees join them and begin to violently oppress these troublemakers. Day by day, the movement grows. They aren't just Jews either, but travelers from other lands hear and accept the faith. The message of hope is so great that many sell what they have to provide for those who are poor. And so deacons are selected to take on this mission so that the apostles may preach to the people day and night. Seven men are selected to be deacons. The seven include Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch. But the greatest orator amongst them is Stephen, and his preaching draws the attention of the priests who summon him to an examination. Stephen's courage. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freed men come forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and spirit with which he spoke. They had Stephen arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, with false witnesses testifying against him for blasphemy. And Stephen made his defense by reviewing the history of Israel's rebellion against the prophets. And they threw him out of the city, and they began to stone him. And the witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. This happens in 34 AD. So Stephen, for telling the truth, is martyred. He's the first martyr of the church. And this young man, Saul, is the one who gathers the cloaks. And he's a Pharisee, and we'll hear much more from him later. Preaching in the streets. Peter and John are preaching to the people the message of Jesus' resurrection, something the Sadducees did not believe in. And the priests sent temple guards to arrest Peter and John. And at their trial, Peter told the Sanhedrin, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." So Peter and John were flogged and released and told not to talk about these matters. But of course, they continued. Now, King Herod Agrippa sees a chance to align himself more closely with his Jewish subjects and earn their trust during this time period. So he has Peter arrested and jailed. And on the evening before Peter's trial, an angel of the Lord comes to Peter and opens the gate of his cell and causes the chains to drop from Peter's hands. Peter escapes and returns to the upper room where the other apostles are meeting, and they are overjoyed to see Peter alive and well. The followers of Jesus, or followers of the way, as they called it in the beginning, met in the temple courtyards for fellowship and worship. And they also attempted to meet in synagogues, but most Jews usually chased them out. The followers began to meet in house churches away from the eyes of Jewish society. And this is when the followers of Jesus began to shift away from the traditional Sabbath to worshiping on the Lord's Day being Sunday, the day of resurrection. Saul on the attack. Zealous for his Jewish faith, Saul, the Pharisee who had collected the cloaks there at the stoning of Stephen, obtains letters to go to Damascus and arrest all who are found to be followers of the way and bring them back to Jerusalem for judgment. Well, on the route, Saul encounters a vision of Jesus Christ, who reveals to Saul who he is and sets Saul's life on a new track as an apostle for the faith. So the Lord takes one of the greatest orators and one of the most persuasive men and makes him an ally. Struck blind in this encounter with the Lord, Saul is told to enter Damascus and seek out Ananias, who will guide him in what he needs to do. Well, Ananias is afraid of Saul, as he's known to be an enemy of the fledgling church, but he finds Saul and he witnesses Saul's conversion, and the anger has left Saul. Well, Saul departs Damascus, but he does not return to Jerusalem, but he goes to Mount Sinai in Arabia. Was he going back to the place where the covenant had been given to validate his conversion? Did he stay in Elijah's cave? Saul returns to Damascus and only goes back to Jerusalem after 3 years have elapsed. The faith comes to Africa. One of the seven deacons, Philip, has journeyed toward Gaza when he encounters an Ethiopian court official on the road. And the man's riding in a chariot, and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, but he understood none of it. So when Philip called up to him, "Do you understand it?" he says, "No, can you explain it to me?" Philip climbs into the chariot, and he starts to unlock the mystery of what Isaiah is writing about, which is the mystery of Jesus Christ. And the man asks Philip to baptize him right there on the side of the road. This same man single-handedly will bring Christianity to Ethiopia and Africa on that occasion. Now we have the vision to Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman centurion of the Italica cohort, and he received a vision. He was serving in Caesarea, which is on the coast on the Mediterranean Sea, and he and his entire family had given generously to the local synagogue and charities. So he was persuaded by the Jewish faith. And the vision, which is an angel of God, told him to send for a man named Simon called Peter. So Cornelius sent two men to Joppa to get Simon right away. Meanwhile, Simon Peter has a vision. And so the next day he goes up on his roof to pray. And he sees heaven opened and something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered to the ground by its four corners. And the sheet held all of the earth's four-legged animals and reptiles and birds of the sky. And a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." And Peter replied, "Certainly not, sir, for never have I eaten anything profane and unclean." So these are prohibited foods that are on this sheet. And the voice replied, "What God has made clean, you are not to call profane." This happened three more times, and then the object was taken up into the sky. And while Peter struggled to understand the vision he had just seen, the men sent by Cornelius to Simon's house arrived. And still thinking about the vision, Peter agreed to go with the men, and they set out for Cornelius' house. The baptism of Cornelius and his family. In Cornelius' house, many of his family and friends had gathered, and when Peter prayed to the Lord, the Holy Spirit descended upon all who were baptized in that house, and the people spoke in tongues and sang out in great joy. So Peter declared that all of the Gentiles in that place who believed were saved, even as he and the other apostles had been at Christ's resurrection, and they were all profoundly glad. Now we have the death of James the Greater. The apostle James the Greater, that is the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, was said to have gone off across the Mediterranean to Spain, and while there he founded many churches. Upon his return, he was arrested by Herod Agrippa, who was looking for a way to gain favor with the Jews. And he ordered James to be seized, and then he had him beheaded. This occurred in 44 AD. James was the first of the 12 disciples to die after Judas Iscariot. Well, the church continued to grow and offer hope for the poor and the downtrodden. And one man, a disciple from Cyprus, sold all that he had and he gave it to the poor. His name is Barnabas, but his nickname is the Encourager. And when some in Antioch talk about taking the word to the Gentiles, Barnabas knows exactly who would be best disposed to do this. First missionary journey. Barnabas goes to Tarsus, and he summons Saul, who responds, and the two begin a missionary journey to Cyprus around 47 to 48 AD. They take along John Mark, Barnabas's cousin, but Mark soon leaves and makes a bad impression upon Paul. From Cyprus, they journey through Galatia, always beginning in the synagogues with speaking first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. In Lystra, Saul, now called Paul, is stoned by the Jews who oppose his message. He's left for dead, but he recovers. He encounters Timothy on this trip, and Timothy will become like a son to Paul. When Paul and Barnabas were in Cyprus, they met with the Roman proconsul Sergius Paulus, described as an intelligent man. And when a Jewish magician attempts to discredit Paul, he chases the man away, and Sergio Paulus is very attentive to the matters at hand. This incident demonstrates two things. First, the Roman authorities did not perceive a great difference in this new movement from Judaism and were tolerant. And two, intelligent men like Paulus were willing to explore the new ideas in lieu of blind obedience to the official gods of Rome. Council of Jerusalem. Judaizers, that is, those who believe one must first observe the Mosaic laws in order to be a follower of Christ, began to be vociferous in their opinions. And many Gentiles had entered the church as a result of missionaries like Barnabas and Paul. So they argued that faith in Christ is what saves one, not the strict practice of the law. And the arguments prompt a council in Jerusalem, which is overseen by Peter, James the Less, and John. And a letter, which does not require observance of the law, which is sent to Antioch by James and the leadership in the year 48. And Barnabas and Paul decide to go on a secondary missionary trip, but there is a disagreement on whether John Mark should go with them. So Paul and Barnabas go their separate ways. Barnabas goes to Cyprus again with Mark, while Paul takes Silas with him to Asia Minor and then into Europe. And Paul and Silas escape from a jail in Philippi when an earthquake topples the jail, and the jailer and his entire family are baptized by Paul. So Paul now establishes churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So the apostles are doing what Jesus told them to do, go teach all nations. A Gentile church. Paul goes into the city and enters the synagogue, and he speaks with Jews and makes some converts. This pattern is repeated in every city that Paul enters until he comes to Philippi, because there is no synagogue in that city. Instead, he meets some women who assemble on the beach for prayer and fellowship. One of these women, named Lydia, will prove to be a great asset to the church in terms of financial support and loyalty. And this new church has a place for women. And this is something very, very unusual in the ancient world. Women are welcomed into the new church. Well, then Paul goes on to Athens in the year 51, and he meets with many philosophers on the Agora, which is a hill where debates occur. And Paul tells them of Jesus and how he is the creator of all and the God of the universe. They're interested, but Paul makes few converts. He continues on to Corinth, a bustling seaport and place of exchange for goods and ideas. A church is established, but it will be a rebellious group and cause Paul much concern over many, many years. But while he's in Corinth, Paul will meet the husband-wife team of Priscilla and Aquila. They were in Rome in 49 AD, but were forced to leave when Caligula exiled all the Jews from the city. And the reason he exiled all the Jews from the city is that there were riots going on amongst the Jews. And what it really was, it was Christians and Jews who were arguing and causing trouble in the city, and so he threw out all the Jews. They were tent makers like Paul, and they came to know and respect each other in Corinth. Some believe that Priscilla is the one who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. They were a great source of support for Paul, both spiritually and financially, and their fate in later years is unknown. Now we come to Ephesus. Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire when Paul visited in 52 to 55 AD. An extremely large temple to the goddess Artemis had been established in the city. This temple is about four times as big as the Parthenon, and it had a thriving silversmith trade, which supplied statues and trinkets for worship. Well, when business started to decline, because Paul was making converts and people stopped buying these trinkets, a silversmith named Demetrius perceived that it was all due to Paul's preaching. So Paul was arrested, and he was jailed for nearly 3 years. He had converted some influential people in Ephesus, however, and the city would continue as an important site for Christianity for years to come. It is in Ephesus, while under arrest, between the years 52 and 55, that Paul wrote his epistle to the Corinthians and to Philemon. And upon his release, Paul went back to Corinth and then back to Judea. During much of this time, he was accompanied by Luke, a physician who would write a gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. What happened to the other apostles? Andrew. Andrew is the brother of Simon Peter. He was first a disciple of John the Baptist, and when Jesus called him, he in turn brought Peter to Jesus. He also brought some Greeks with questions for Jesus, and he brought the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Andrew was always bringing people to the Lord. He preached the gospel message in Asia Minor in Greece, and he was said to have been crucified on an X-shaped cross in the city of Patras in Achaia, which is central Greece, around the year 60 AD. Now, James the Less, along with Peter and John, were the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And James was the principal author of the letter sent to Antioch regarding the admittance of Gentiles into the church in 48 AD. When Paul evaded the Jews in Jerusalem by claiming Roman citizenship, some Jews, zealots, angrily seized James and threw him off the roof of the temple. Still alive after this, a man ran forward and clubbed James to death in 63 AD. So pictures of James are usually shown with him holding a club. Now Matthew the tax collector, he was originally called Levi, and therefore he was an educated man. He could read and write. And he may have kept notes all during Jesus' ministry for his ultimate compilation of the gospel according to Matthew. The gospel was written for a Jewish audience and referenced prophecies from Scripture. He went to Ethiopia, probably not in Africa, but probably the city called Ethiopia on the Black Sea, and he was there martyred by being sawn in half around the year 64 AD. Now, Simon the Zealot was apparently a member of the group that advocated overthrow of Romans rule by force, but he dropped his zealot attitude when he became a disciple of Jesus. In selecting Simon, Jesus balanced the choice of Matthew. The tax collector worked for the Romans, and the zealot, of course, wants to work against the Romans. According to some sources, Simon may have been killed with Jude Thaddeus by soldiers on the road in Scythia, or he may have been beheaded in Edessa in 65 AD. And that brings us to Jude Thaddeus. He wrote an epistle which warned against false teachers. Because he was often confused with Judas Iscariot, he over time became the patron of lost causes. So Jude Thaddeus was not, his works were not read because they thought it was Judas. So he's the patron saint of lost causes. Some traditions say that Thaddeus may have died on a road in Scythia with Simon the Zealot, killed by soldiers, and others say that he was killed in or near Beirut in the year 66 AD. Now we have Peter beyond Judea. Peter was recorded as being in Jerusalem, Antioch, and Joppa. Some traditions state that he also went to Smyrna and became the bishop of that place. At some time between 58 and 62 AD, he was reported to be in Rome. The Emperor Claudius had already reacted to religious minorities with his exile of the Jews in 49 AD, reportedly because of trouble between Jews over the character of a man named Crestus. Well, in 64 AD, the city of Rome was extensively damaged and destroyed by fire. Emperor Nero was implicated. But to divert attention from him, he proclaimed that the Christians were responsible. And hundreds of Christians were rounded up and martyred. And this would include both Peter and Paul. The martyrdom of Peter. Peter was in Rome with John Mark, the author of the Gospel according to Mark. This is thought to be the first gospel written and distributed. It contains the remembrances of Peter. It was published just before, or perhaps soon after, the death of Peter. Peter was seized by the Romans under the order of Emperor Nero and was crucified upside down in the Hippodrome on Vatican Hill around 66 to 67 AD. His burial site became the location for the Basilica of St. Peter's, built in 1330 and again in 1506. Peter's bones are in a reliquary under the current altar in the Cathedral of St. Peter's. The martyrdom of Paul. Emperor Nero seized Paul and, because of his Roman citizenship, condemned him to beheading on the Via Ostensia, just south of the city of Rome. The Emperor Constantine built the first church to honor Paul on the location of his martyrdom. The Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls is currently on this site. The martyrdom of John Mark. John Mark was born in Cyrene, near Alexandria, Egypt, and at some time in the first century, he founded a church in Alexandria, which is reputed to be the origins of the Coptic Church. After his time with Peter in Rome, Mark went back to Alexandria and was martyred there by being dragged through the streets behind a chariot for 2 days. And now we come to the First Jewish War. The Zealots, remember them? They're the Jews who favor an armed revolt against Rome. Well, they seized many of the garrison towns in Judea beginning in the year 66. And their surprise overwhelmed the Roman garrisons, and partly because Rome had only one legion assigned to all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria in 66 AD. They thought it was going to be a relatively peaceful area, so they cut back on the number of troops who were there, and the Jews took advantage of that. Rather than come roaring back, the Romans planned a deliberate and carefully executed reconquest of all these rebellious lands. Vespasian, the Roman general, planned a careful and methodical reconquest of Judea and his campaign against Jerusalem that would take 5 months to implement. The Jewish fighters were tenacious, but they were also strongly divided. The city was dismantled section at a time. The temple was destroyed in the fourth month of this battle, and those who considered themselves Christians left Jerusalem and went into the countryside as Jesus had instructed them to do in his teachings. The city and the temple were utterly leveled and destroyed by fire. More than half of the defenders of the city were killed. The remainder of the fighting men were taken into slavery to work in the Roman salt mines. Women and children were sold as slaves. The stones of the temple were dragged to the precipice of the platform and thrown down, fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus that not one stone would be left standing upon another. At the end of the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem, most of the apostles were dead, and the followers of Christ had moved away from Jerusalem. And while the church in Judea did not grow, other locations in the Gentile world became more receptive to the gospel message. And this included Alexandria, Antioch, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Rome. So, in summary, what we explored tonight is the church is born with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost brings all the disciples to the task of teaching all nations. And the priests of the Sanhedrin are aghast. Didn't they silence this Jesus movement? They try harder to no avail. And new apostles like Paul bring great fervor to the movement, especially with epistles, that is, letters that are sent back to the churches. And Rome burns, and a concerted effort to eliminate the Christians is pursued for a while. And by the year 70 AD, Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed, and Judaism is in turmoil. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.